When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
Okay, guys, I just want to remind you, if you missed us the first time around, we're back with the Maximize Your Life Tour. So if you're feeling stuck in one capacity of your life or another, we're coming to you. I want to talk to you about harnessing your potential, developing your strengths, pursuing your passion. All you got to do is go to www.jillianmichaelslive.com. You can see a whole video of the tour, pictures from the previous tour, all the cities, all the dates. Everything is there. Tickets start at $25. We can't wait. We're excited. Go now.
She's
go.
Funny, too.
I'm hilarious.
She's pretty hilarious.
And deep.
And deep. There's deepness.
You'll be moved. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and then you'll take over the world.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What are you waiting for?
Jillian?
Huh. Well, we had a transmitter blow up in our studio today.
Yeah, it smelled and everything.
Oof,
there was a lot of menfolk in here. Did you see all the menfolk in here?
Well, that makes you afraid?
Well, I'm not used to it. I'm not used to being...
You like to outnumber Jake, 3-1.
We've always outnumbered Jake, and then we were outnumbered this time.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, just,
it was a little frightening.
It was. There was
all those men in here fixing things for us.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so I don't have my headphones, and it's messing with my head.
I know.
But I have to trust that what I'm saying is reaching the audience.
Yeah. And
despite the fact that I can't hear myself talk in my head in my headphones.
I know. I hear
I did have a bunch of good segments. I'm not even sure where to begin. I thought of one.
Okay.
Something new has happened in my house.
Uh-oh. Or maybe good.
I've heard about this, but I had been... Okay.
I've heard about this, but had yet to experience it until yesterday. So friends of mine with toddlers, you know, going through the whole like
toddler
I'm
thing.
I'm a toddler, right? I'm autonomous. You can't tell me what to do. Toddlers and teenagers have told me that like they'll give their kids timeouts and their kids will be like, I don't care, you know, whatever, right? I kind of thought that was maybe a 5-year-old thing. Or a... So yesterday.
This is starting to
get oh my me. God. Lou has been like kind of on fire lately. Like in the last 2 weeks, man, it's been, because I kind of was like, wow, I got to three and three's a breeze and I'm loving three and three is awesome. And, you know, my little road dog, my perfect child. And, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect child and I would never want to put that pressure on, but was a pretty amazing kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, as in, she's an amazing kid, but I mean, with regard to like her listening, her this or that was pretty shocking. You've seen her. She listens, right? You say, Lou, don't say that word, and she doesn't say it. So anyway, I don't know what, boy, but in the last 2 weeks, she has just been al fuego. I will not. No, I won't. You're not the boss of me. Like, just going on.
Wow.
So we're all ready to beat this kid within an inch of her life. I'm not kidding. Each and every one of us has to stop the other one from pounding her. It's like, I have to stop Heidi. Heidi has to stop me. We have our new nanny, Addison. We have to stop Addison. Addison has to stop us. It's like, you know, we're like, let me tell you, you want to understand child abuse, get a toddler on your ass 24/7 and you'll be like, just one spanking, just one, just one swat to the butt. But of course, you know, we don't do that in this day and age. But so yesterday, right, she's just everything we say is no, you know, Lou, stop playing on the stairs, no. And then she gets to the top of the stairs and slams the gate shut on the baby. Or, you know, Lou, put your shoes on. Ignores you. Lou, put your shoes on. No, I won't. Just on and on and on. So finally, right, I was like, okay, Lou. And I hadn't given this kid a timeout. I want to say in, my God, since the last tour when she said shut up, that's, I think, the last time I gave her a timeout. And she hasn't said shut up ever since. And if she hears me say shut up, even joking, like, someone will go, I blah, 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 and I'll go, shut up.
Right,
like, right. She doesn't know constantly. Like, Mama, don't say shut up. That's not nice. And I'm like, okay, buddy, I'm sorry. You know, so anyway, I had it, right? And I was like, Lou, that's it. When we get home, time out. And she goes, I'm excited. Yeah. Oh. I go, what? She goes, I love time out, Mama. And I was like, oh, I'm going to kill her. So all the way home, she's like, time out, time out, time out. And I'm like, urgh. So we get home and I was like, all right. And she's like, I'm going time out, and like marches up the stairs. And normally this kid hates time out, right? She screams and cries. She hates it. She goes up to her room. So I'm like, wait a minute. So I take a glance around the room. I take out all the books, all the toys. I take it all out. Because I'm like, no, you're getting a time out, right? So I take everything out of the room. And then I was like, I'm such a bitch. This is so, I'm such an a-hole, because there's a little part of me that was like, I want to make sure the time out is not a pleasant thing. So I have something to leverage with. So she likes this cartoon now. You know, she goes through phases with her cartoons.
Right.
Like Bubble Guppies, Dora the Explorer, and now she's into Peter Rabbit. So I don't know when they made Peter Rabbit a cartoon, but they did, and she likes Peter Rabbit. So I'm such a bitch that I went downstairs and I turned on Peter Rabbit really loud. And I was like, woo! This is the best episode of Peter Rabbit! Woo! Whoa, look what Peter's doing! Oh, Mr. Fox! Oh my God! And then I hear her go, Mama! And I was like, ah, the pain point, Peter Rabbit. And I put her in timeout for 15 minutes. Mind you, she's almost 4. But I put her in timeout for 15 minutes, which is, I mean, I've never given her a 15-minute timeout. Ever. Like, 5-minute timeout, maybe. Because she's a really good kid. But, I mean, she was just for, like, 2 weeks. And we just, you know, we kept trying to, like, talk, you know, just talk it through. And I would explain it to her and the whole thing. You got to listen. And don't make us tell you 6 times. Listen the first. You know, and And even the night before, I'd had this talk with her after she had just, Heidi was ready to just kill her. And I was like, buddy, I get it. And I appreciate your spirit and I appreciate your autonomy because I don't want her to be a doormat or a pushover. I don't want her to be a Stepford child. I said, but when I explain something to you and I give you the reason and it involves your safety or the safety of others or the respect of other people, you need to listen at that point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so here we are again, right? So anyway, Peter Rabbit's on. I was like, I think I want some ice cream. Heidi, pop the ice cream.
Oh my God.
Right. I go upstairs, you know, and of course, now she's upset. And I'm like, listen to me, dude. You know, and I kind of like, we had this whole one more talk. But then we came up with something that I used to have as a kid. And I'll tell you that in the last 24 hours, it has been working, and it made me think about us as adults, right? So here's what we did. We took a calendar and some star stickers. So here's the deal. She can get a star for listening, is like a blue star, right? Mm-hmm. For cleaning up her messes is a red star. For being nice and having manners, including being nice to her brother, is a green star. We have one more star. Oh, and eating cleanly, because sometimes it's like a bomb went off and sometimes, you know, and it's like, so, and kind of being like a clean eater is another star. And then each of these stars has an incentive. So like 7 stars, she can pull a little something out of a prize box. So it could be a sticker or something like that. 14 stars, she can have a, you know what my kid asked Santa for Christmas? Bagels. I'm not kidding. Will you see if we can get Lou on the phone? Will you text Heidi and ask if we can get Lou on the phone? I'm not kidding. Watch. She has bagels for Christmas. Her dolls are named Pancake, Muffin, and Bagel. She's named all of her dolls after carbs.
What do you think that's about?
I don't even want to talk. It's disturbing. There's no doubt. I don't know. And we do let her have. I don't get it because she does eat. She had waffles and peanut butter for breakfast this morning. So I don't know. But that's, who else would have a child that's obsessed with carbs? That's what she asked Santa for Christmas, bagels. So 14 stars, she gets a bagel or an ice cream, a trip to the ice cream parlor. Because normally, you know, like give her like a little treat at the end of the day if she's good, but not like an ice cream sundae or something. So, you know, and then I think it's like 60 stars is a movie, a night out movie kind of thing. I think 100 stars is a concert.
Oh, I see.
And like 250 stars is Disneyland. And they can accumulate. Like, I'm not going to make her use them. Like, if 7 stars this, you know. So it's fascinating how quickly that positive reinforcement had a much, like, yes, the aversion of a timeout worked. She was like, I want to go downstairs and apologize to Addison. And she was like, I'm going to listen. And, you know, and I said, okay, because normally I'll let her sleep on the couch when she's a good girl. And then I'll take her upstairs to bed when we go to bed. And I was like, tonight, no bedtime on the couch, bedtime in your room. Cause she'd just been, you know, just on fire, unruly. And so when we started this positive incentivizing, I'll tell you, in the last 24 hours, it's, she's like, look, Mama, I cleaned up my mess. Look, Mama, I'm sharing with the baby. Look, Mama. And it's, I've seen a completely different effect on her than, okay, Lou, you're going to get a timeout. I'm excited about timeout. I love timeout. Oh, my God.
That would have so rocked me.
I wanted to pound her little butt. I wanted to whap her on the butt so hard. And it brought me to the conclusion, and I thought a lot about us as adults, and it seems obvious, right? Positive reinforcement, like positively reinforce your dog with a treat, or, you know, positively reinforce your child by incentivizing them. And yet with ourselves, we're so quick to beat ourselves up and, you know, throw ourselves under the bus and talk about how worthless we are and how we're failures and how we're no good. And, you know, you've been good for 2 weeks into the new year on your diet, and, you know, one night you slip up and have pizza and it's like, oh, God, you know, you're flogging yourself instead of being like, okay, you know, I've been great for 2 weeks and I had pizza tonight and tomorrow I'll get back on the wagon. And, you know, if I go to the gym X amount of times this week, I'm going to reward myself with, you know, Y or Z. Or we don't do that. People don't build in goals or rewards. I don't see why not. And again, we shouldn't really use food as a reward. I believe more in using food as a balanced system. Like, you should have a little bit of a treat every day. And, right, you know, we do. And so do the kids. But sure, every now and again, if she wants to get an ice cream sundae, like, that doesn't happen ever. It's like, you know, a small scoop here or there. But I think with adults, what can we do to really incentivize ourselves in a positive way? Like, you know what? If I get off 5 pounds by this date, I'm going to get myself a massage. Or I, you know, it doesn't even have to be money. It's like, I'm going to, whatever. I'm going to buy myself flowers. I'm going to allow myself to take a bubble bath and veg out for the night and do nothing. I'll watch a marathon of my favorite shows. I don't know. But I think that is just the nature of being human. And while, yes, aversion therapy does work. I mean, my shrink even said, because everyone was debating whether or not Phoenix could have a timeout. And, you know, when he throws things on the floor, he hits his sister. And, like, oh, he won't remember. Meanwhile, 20 months old now. Oh, he won't remember. And, you know, and my shrink was like, look, I mean, the reality is they've utilized aversion therapy on, you know, paramecium, like tiny little microscopic creatures. And it works. But the most effective way to incentivize is positively. So you might have a little bit of both, sure. But at the end of the day, start thinking about how can you positively incentivize yourself instead of going to, like, I'm crap, beat myself up. And I'll never forget, I had gotten the tremendous pleasure of being able to train Maria Shriver a few times, who's like one of my great, I mean, mm-hmm. I think she's an incredible woman.
She's pretty damn cool.
You know, whether or not you agree with her politics, I respect her mm-hmm. as a woman and, like, what she's done in the world. But boy, we were working out and I was giving her very hard things to do because that's what I do, right? And she was like, oh, Maria, you're so weak. Come on. And I was like, Maria, dude, no, what are you doing? Why are you saying that? She's like, well, doesn't it motivate you, like, to push yourself more? And I was like, no, think about it. Like, running your car on gasoline versus running your car on solar power, it's not a clean burning fuel. When you're hard on yourself, there is repercussions to that. But if solar is positive and gasoline is negative, can you see, like, solar power is a clean burning fuel? There's no negative repercussions. It's not doing any damage. And it can last for as long as the civilization goes on. Positive reinforcement is like solar power. It'll keep you going. It has no negative ramifications. It's a longer lasting fuel and a cleaner burning fuel, whereas negative reinforcement can really do damage. Now, of course, there are times I want you to take bad things and channel them. Like, one of the contestants on the show, Bobby, had emailed me because he was really upset that people were gay bashing him and saying bad things about him. And I was like, sweetie, instead.
Oh, God. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's so old.
Not in certain parts of the country.
Oh,
or in particular religious communities. You know that.
Wow.
You're from Canada. It's maybe not that bad there. Here, it's a pretty big deal. But anyway.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just shocked by that.
So Bobby got really upset, and he's like, I was so upset. I didn't work out. And I was like, sweetie, this is where you take that negativity and channel it into your workout, because success is the best revenge. So sure, mm-hmm. there's channeling negative things that happen to you, but beating yourself up and punishing yourself is not the better way to stay motivated. So yeah, so that's what I just thought, you know, I wanted to throw that out there. Think about ways to give yourself your own star chart. Like, lose 5 pounds, or lose every pound you get a, you know, star. You know, X pounds equals this, X pounds equals that, a beach vacation, etc.
Do we want to get Lou?
Oh yeah, get Lou on the phone.
We won't
be able to hear. Oh yeah, put her on speaker. And see if I can get her. I want to see if I can get her to tell you what she asked for Christmas.
Will we be able to
hold it right up to the mic and we're good?
Okay, is she on?
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
It's Mama and Janice and Autumn.
Hi.
Hi, Boo Boo. How you doing?
Good.
Baby, I have a question. Can you tell us, what did you ask Santa Claus for Christmas?
Eggos.
Bagels.
Yes.
And, bagels. And sweetheart, can you tell us, what are the names of your favorite dolls?
Muffin and Lily Bagel.
What about pancakes?
Yeah, pancakes.
That's right. So Muffin, Lily, Bagels, and pancakes.
Yes.
Okay. Good work, sweetheart. I love you. I'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, Mama.
Bye.
Yeah. What's that about? What's that about?
Well, like, that was the cutest thing Lily I've ever there. Heard.
Yeah. Bagels.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
failing as a mother, but that's, I mean,
bagel.
No, it's good.
Or, you know, she's not stupid. I like a bagel, too.
New advertiser.
Oh, Jillian, we're growing up. Just
I know we are.
Exponentially.
And this is a big one. They advertise on the TV. I'm serious. This is exciting. Ready?
I am.
LegalZoom.
LegalZoom.
Maybe you want to get your life organized. Maybe you want to start a business. Hopefully you don't want to get a divorce, but maybe you're getting a green card. Possibly there's a personal injury issue. Maybe you need a prenuptial agreement, a power of attorney. I could go on and on and on. And you can get all these services at LegalZoom. Isn't that cool?
It is.
And it's going to save you a ton of money and, of course, a ton of time. And here we go. I'm going to do my most professional voice now. LegalZoom's step-by-step process was created by a team of experts in law and technology. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but can connect you with a third-party attorney and provides you with self-help services. For special savings, enter Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N, in the referral box at checkout. Please don't let another month go by before you take care of these things for your family and business. From wills to business information, trademark applications, powers of attorney, and even bankruptcy help, go to LegalZoom.com. Okay, I did that part right. Now, honestly, I have to tell you, for real, if you are starting a business, all this stuff that I just mentioned, this is an incredible resource. And I know how overwhelming it can be, and I also know how expensive attorneys are. Whew, do I ever. So go to LegalZoom.com and get started on whatever project you've been putting off. Pulled a very interesting little article. It's called Dealing with Gym Intimidation.
You know why I pulled it? Because I see it. I see it happen a lot.
Do you really?
I do. I do. Especially at community gyms. And you see the person, you see the, and it's mostly a woman will be intimidated that she comes in and you just kind of see her kind of, it's like, oh my God, and she's looking around and not knowing really the equipment and no one there really to help her. There's not enough staff to help her. And then there's the guy strutting around and you just kind of see her kind of just turn around. It's just, it's, you know.
Really?
Yeah, no, it may not happen in the trendier gyms where there is a full staff, but in the more of the community, smaller town gyms, when you go, you're just, it's very disconcerting.
I also think, you know, we get a lot of callers who feel uncomfortable or embarrassed, mm-hmm. or like they're not fit enough. And,
sure.
And as much as I always say, like, that's silly, that's ridiculous, no one's judging you, no one cares, and if somebody is judging you, they're a jerk, and who cares what they think. But it is a reality, and that's why I liked that you pulled this. And I, you know, it kind of lists a lot of things that people can be uncomfortable with. And it's like open spaces, which I was like, that's weird. But then it said, if you're looking for privacy during a workout, joining a large gym might not be for you. And I guess, okay, yeah. In which case, I would like people to go to the gym, but if it really makes you uncomfortable, you could do DVDs at home.
Mm-hmm.
If it was that important to you. I don't want it to stop you from working out. And then it says confusing machinery, things you don't understand.
Yep.
I get that. That makes sense. Aggressive salespeople, that's really annoying. But I find that annoying even when I try to, like, try on clothes, or even when you go to the nail salon and it's like, you want this, you want that, you need this, you need that. You're just like, stop. That's uncomfortable as
yeah.
well. I get that. Hardcore exercisers that can make you feel less than or, quote, beautiful people. So let's go through this then, step by step, and talk about it. Obviously, if it's like hardcore exercisers or open spaces or, quote, beautiful people, you want to pick a gym that is going to allow you to feel more comfortable. but it would be a woman's only gym, could be a good option for you. Mm-hmm. You know, Curves generally, I mean, men can go to Curves, but for the most part, it is a woman's gym.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that I like so much about it, is that it isn't intimidating for women. There are a lot, it's accessible, it's affordable. And that's why it was a good partnership for me. And there's a little coach on the premises and so on. But it is a woman's only gym, so that's non-threatening. If that's, you know, there are women's only gyms. Curves has over 3,600 locations in America, but there are women's only gyms all over the country. If that's your issue, find one until you get more comfortable. If it's big gyms, and find maybe a smaller, more boutique facility, yep. an intimate gym from a local fitness trainer instead of some big, you know, Equinox or Crunch that's going to feel overwhelming. If it's hardcore exercisers, don't go to the level 2-3 yoga class. Go to the level 1. Go to Introduction to Yoga. Yeah, take the beginner's spin class. Don't go to the CrossFit craziness. Go, you know, go to a little boot camp class. And they'll often say, like, beginner level or level 1-2 or something you can feel more comfortable with, where you're not like, mother of God, everybody in here is an animal and I'm just getting started.
Yeah.
You know, I can see, I take this yoga class on the weekends, and it's like a 2-3, and this trainer, just yoga teacher, she's serious. I mean, she's intense. And a friend of mine came who is fit but doesn't really do yoga. And I warned her. I was like, dude, this is brutal, just so you know. And do not feel ashamed if you need to go into, like, child's pose and take a break.
Right.
And she, you know, the next, she's like, I can't wash my hair. I haven't washed my hair in 2 days. I was like, I told you, take child's pose. And she goes, but no one else did.
Right.
And so she felt, like, intimidated. So don't go into a class then. If you are intimidated to be slightly less advanced, don't go into that class. Take a more beginner class. Another great thing would be, see if you can, if it is a bigger gym facility, generally when you sign up, they'll have an orientation for you.
Right.
Have them show you the equipment, the machines, show you around the facility so you don't feel so intimidated. Possibly spend a little money on one session with a personal trainer to take you around. Consider joining the YMCA, which is a little more community-based. And a lot of, like, recreation centers will have, like, local recreation centers, parks and recreation departments will offer fitness classes for adults and kids, for all different types of mm-hmm. fitness, all different fitness levels, which could be good. And don't let this intimidate you away from the gym. Maybe go with a workout buddy, which I think can be helpful for people, because it's like, all right, I've got my little person here. We're here together, so I don't feel all alone. Or I think people are uncomfortable doing things alone, whether it's eating alone somewhere, going to a movie alone, let alone going to the gym alone. Think about it. You would go to a restaurant with a buddy any day of the week, but sometimes you're like, oh, I can't go to that restaurant by myself. Mm. I'm not going to go to and sit at the sushi bar alone. I would, but a lot of people, because once you have kids, I think you would covet that time. but a lot of people would feel uncomfortable. So, fine. You would go with a friend to dinner, go with a friend to the gym, get a workout buddy. And another last tip on this, choose hours that are off hours.
Yep.
Like, you know?
For sure.
Whenever I train with the ass man at 9 in the morning, the place is packed, which I like. I like the energy. It doesn't intimidate me. I think it's fun. But when I'm there at 1 in the afternoon, nobody's there. Nobody. Go on your lunch break. You know, try to go during off hours. Another, like, 8 o'clock at night, no one's going to be there. They're there at 6 o'clock and 5 o'clock, but find off hours. Go on off hours until you start to feel more comfortable. But do not let anything keep you away from taking care of your body and getting your workout in.
Can I give one tip for...
I guess you can, yes.
Well, this is for... you mentioned, like, recreation centers or that's where I work. I work out at a recreation center where there's a pool, there's a gym. And so now this might not work for you, but buy a pass, not single. Like, you know, usually these kind of places, like a gym is a different thing, but a rec center, they'll say 20 classes.
Yoga, same thing. Spinning.
Right,
yeah.
20 sessions for $85.
Pilates, same thing.
Or a 3-month pass for, let's say, $120. Get the 3-month pass.
Oh.
You know why?
Nope.
Because if you're money conscious, I get money conscious, I'll go,
I'll go, oh, I'm not going to go unless I can do the whole, unless I can swim and work out at the same time, because I don't want to waste my one session. Whereas if I have a 3-month pass,
yeah.
I'll say, you know what, I've got half an hour, I'm going to go there. And I don't feel like I'm wasting my
session.
So psychologically, I spend an extra, $20, and I don't feel compelled that I have to do the whole big workout to get my money's worth.
That's interesting.
I was going to ask, as a trainer, Groupon, right, has a ton of stuff. I always
see you know what?
Stuff on Groupon.
Funny you say that. I actually haven't gone on Groupon, but we offer things on Groupon. So, like, we'll package and bundle our DVDs, and we'll say, okay, you can get these three titles, and you'll save $10 on all three titles together, and gone. They blow out. Or, like, we've offered... like discounted memberships to JillianMichaels.com. We put in January we put the tour on Groupon first this time, because last time people were really pissed because they were like, now it's on Groupon. So I was like, we got to put it on Groupon right away. So, but yeah, we put the tour on, but they only offer so many tickets on there, like it's a limited amount.
Right.
But yeah, Groupon's awesome. It's a great way to save. We've kind of shifted a bit, but yeah, Groupon's a great way to save money on fitness stuff.
By my house, you're not gonna like this, but there's for $60 I could get 15 sessions at CrossFit.
No, it's not that I don't like it, sweetie. It's not that I don't like it. Look, my issues with CrossFit are just that I don't think it's a complete workout. Like, there are a lot of things that I don't agree with about the actual workout. And while they're like, we hit every fitness modality, it's like, no, you do the same 12 things over and over and over again. And I don't believe in the kipping pull-ups. I think it's terrible for your shoulders. And there's no eccentric contractions in a lot of their movements because everything is kipping this and kipping that and slamming weights to the floor. And, they're doing things like Olympic lifting and... your average bear shouldn't be doing that. And I think for me, something like CrossFit, I would like to see it as like a workout in your week, and where you did, okay, I did a CrossFit workout and then I did a yoga workout and then I did, where
spinning,
you mix it up so that you are actually training your body in different ways and training the muscles in different directions. And it's just different angles of push and pull and different fitness modalities. And I also don't, to me, paleo, I'm like, wow, okay.
You get asked that question a lot about paleo.
Well, here's my problem with the paleo thing, and the way they do it is they don't look at the quality of the food. They're just like, well, bacon. Like, okay, do you know anything about
the bacon?
Non-organic, like, it's, number one, just like a massive contributor to testicular cancer. Like, they're not looking at hormones, antibiotics, preservatives, like the quality of the meat. Mm-hmm. And it's also kind of, every 5 minutes someone's got a new diet that's extreme. I don't believe in extreme diets. I just don't think, I'm a raw foodist. I'm a vegan. I'm paleo. Like, Bob went one day from being on the cover of Vegan News to be being paleo the next week. I was like, how do you, I love him, and I love the fact that he really embraces new trends, because he just thinks it's fun and he wants to explore, like, all right, well, I was vegan because that was hot and I did it for a little while, and then I'm paleo now because that's hot and I'm doing that for a little while. But for me, it's like, it just doesn't, to me, I'm like, there's a certain science that I have a trainer logic, and I have like a nutrition logic that I really adhere to. And it's not to say it's the only way. It's not. It's the way that works for me.
Right.
So for me, a more balanced approach to my diet keeps me mentally satiated. Like, to paleo, I'd be miserable. Mm-hmm. I'd be miserable. Even if I did it all organic, meat and greens, I just couldn't. I'd be so unhappy. I wouldn't want to live like that. Even if someone came out with some magic study and said it's God's gift to wellness, I would be like, I still can't do it. I wouldn't be happy doing it.
Yeah.
So, it's not that, babe. I would absolutely say, great, do the CrossFit. Just make sure that it's, be really careful what you're actually doing there. Don't do like Olympic lifting unless you know this coach and they've been doing it for years and they're certified, because there's a lot of injuries from CrossFit as well. That's all. Just approach it with...
I'm between that and the boxing gym.
Do both.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, here's what I would do. Do a CrossFit workout, do a boxing workout, do a yoga workout, and that way you're getting all of these different fitness modalities and training your body in a really well-rounded way instead of wall balls and snatch it. It's like, it is the same freaking 12 exercises that I see over air squats, over and over and over again. So, yeah, one day a week, go for it. And then make sure that you've got other modalities, other workouts in your regimen to keep yourself more well-rounded.
Yeah, for sure.
That's all.
All right.
All right.
Very good. All right, we'll be right back.
Alright guys, are you ready? So, here's the deal. For those of you who've ever considered becoming a personal trainer, what are you waiting for? Seriously. And all of you guys, I lost 20 pounds, I've been so inspired, I'm thinking about becoming a personal trainer. I'm thinking about. Stop thinking about it and start doing it. Act on it. If you want to do it. Pursue it. And NASM is one of the most credible, fantastic organizations to help you do just that. I became a personal trainer when I was a kid. I've never looked back. It is one of the most passionate, fulfilling areas of my life. If this is something that you're ready to act on, it is as simple as going to usatrainer.com today. These guys guarantee that you'll land a job within 60 days of your certification, or they will give you your money back. So you have nothing to lose. You can earn money doing something you love that fulfills you. Very simple. It's a free 14-day sneak peek to check out their online program. All you got to do is go to usatrainer.com. Very simple. 14 days free to your dream job. usatrainer.com. It's a new year, and we're all looking for ways to build good habits, right? Reclaiming our health, pursuing our passions, going after the things we want, romantic, career, you name it. But guess what you need to be thinking about, Janice?
What?
Good job. It needs to include your brain. You need to train your memory, challenge your attention and problem-solving skills. Keep yourself sharp, and Lumosity.com can help. Lumosity has brain games that are designed by the top scientists to train your mental processes. And the best part about it is that they're fun, they're challenging, it only takes a few minutes every day, and over time you can track your progress online and compare yourself to other people. You can even see how you started and how much you've personally progressed, which I think is so awesome. Mm-hmm. You can play Lumosity from anywhere, your computer, your iPad, your phone, with the free Lumosity app. I have been crushing Speed Match this week. I match shapes and symbols to improve my information processing. Here's the scary thing. My three-year-old is as good at it as I am. But nevertheless, I am getting better. So go to Lumosity.com right now and check it out. Click the Start Training button and then just play your first game. It's that simple. Lumosity.com, and tell them you heard it from me, Jillian Michaels.
We are back, and we would like to welcome Sasha to the show.
Hey, Sasha.
Oh, hello.
What's going on, buddy?
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so great. This is very cool, I have to say. I'm a huge fan of the podcast.
Well, thank you, bud. Do you think Janice hits on me? Oh. This is an issue we've been dealing with lately, and we had a complaint. Someone thought that she did. Do you think so?
Well, I think it would be pretty hard to not try to hit on you, Jill. You're pretty hot mama.
Oh.
There you go. You're a hot mama.
You are in love with me. Anyway, I'm sorry, Sasha. How can we help?
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for taking my call. Let's see. Yeah, so I wrote into the show probably the last day of this past year, 2013. And I was kind of at this point of sort of desperation in my relationship. And, you know, I feel good now because I have a little perspective.
Okay.
But I wrote because I feel like my relationship is at a little bit of a fragile point.
Okay.
And I kind of want to help it in the right direction.
All right, can you be more specific, honey? How do you think it's frazzled?
Absolutely. So I'm in a relationship with my boyfriend now. It's going on 2 years, and we've just moved in together a few months ago. And we've had a little bit of a rocky past few months, some more arguments than normal.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's really... among other things, you know, there's a lot of great things about the relationship, but among other things, I become very insecure, and that often manifests as me coming across as angry and confrontation, and that causes my boyfriend to clam up, and then I just kind of spiral into more insecurity. The more he's quiet,
sure,
the more I spiral.
Right.
Okay, so yeah.
You know how sometimes we talk on the show about how when we try to act in avoidance of the things that we fear, we end up manifesting them. So
absolutely.
You might be feeling insecure. That might make him clam up, which subsequently makes you feel more insecure, which subsequently makes you act out more, which makes him be more quiet, and it becomes a vicious cycle. But the first question is, how and what? Okay, so how are you feeling insecure? What's making you feel insecure? Why are you feeling insecure? Let's start there.
Yeah. As I mentioned, we recently moved in together. You know, I'm pretty serious about this guy. And I think it almost gets to the point where I almost feel like maybe I'm a little too serious and intense about the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Almost to the point where I'm like scared I'm going to lose it, you know?
Yep.
And
of course.
And I totally lose perspective.
Okay.
So that comes across as maybe, you know, for example, we had a conversation about cheating, and I just kind of lost my cool. I mean, it was really, I'm not proud to say, I get really insecure, and I there was yelling, and...
Okay, well, wait, hold on. Okay, so first, let me show you the pattern, right? So,
yeah,
when we act to avoid fear, we often manifest the fear. Well, your fear is that you're going to lose this individual in this relationship, which is so important and significant in your life.
Yeah.
And then, of course, by acting in a certain way of like, oh, my God, I'm afraid I'm going to lose it, and it makes you insecure, and it makes you seemingly, I've yet to really explore this with you deeper, but seemingly overreact or possibly smother or whatever, behave in such a way that he sort of shuts down, which now you are experiencing an emotional abandonment, which is validating your fear, making you even worse. So so now, let's put it this way. Try to understand this. The more you try to act in avoidance of that fear, the more that fear is going to manifest. So if you could embrace this relationship and understand that no matter what happens, if this relationship is going to end, you're already on that path. Like there has to be a certain sense of surrender where you can enjoy what you have instead of constantly reacting to a negative event that hasn't even occurred.
Absolutely, yeah.
99% of the time we're upset, afraid, worrying about something that not only hasn't occurred, likely never will.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It takes you out of the moment and enjoying the very thing that you have.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I have more questions than answers, which is obviously one of the reasons I wanted to contact you all, because I love your Love Doctor episode.
So silly, but I mean, there's really something there. Now, Tell me, okay, yeah. So tell me the cheating conversation, because I want to understand if, in fact, you have a reason to feel insecure. Because, by the way, we might be attracting somebody that makes us feel insecure and brings up an old pattern of not feeling good about ourselves. And that's something completely different than manifesting or creating a feeling of insecurity or a situation that isn't actually there. It's one thing if he was like, babe, I don't think anything of cheating. You know, I believe in multiple partners, and you freaked out. Well, that's a completely different conversation than you going, I just want you to know if you, and you know, he's never cheated. He's not, you know, and freaking out. So can you tell me about that conversation?
Sure, sure. Well, I'm pretty sure I know that that's not, you know, what you just mentioned is not the case, but I'd like to know your take on it. So I'm using this as an example. It recently came to mind that my boyfriend's friend was seeing two girls at one time.
Okay.
And a private discussion between my boyfriend and I sort of, really, it was a confrontation, because I sort of had worked it up in my head, like, man, that really sucks. And I've met both of these girls, and they had no idea about each other. And
has he misled them to believe, has this guy misled them to believe they're the only one?
I honestly don't know the details. So I'm sort of making my judgment, you know, based on limited information.
Okay.
And I posed it to my boyfriend. I'm like, hey, you know, this just occurred to me. Like, what do you think about this?
Right.
And
you're fishing. Okay.
Yeah, totally fishing. I mean, I'm acting in ways that I'm not proud of, that, you know, are not.
No. Wait a minute here. Hold on. Because often you are the company you keep. So here's what we don't know. We don't know if this guy is lying or misleading these women. He may not have an exclusive relationship with them, in which case it's not nice to tell someone about the other person you're dating. That just wouldn't be kind or polite at all. As long as you're open and saying, look, I'm not looking for an exclusive relationship. I'm dating right now, you know, for whatever reason there might be. That's fair, and that's honest, and that's one thing. If he's lying and being deceitful, then that's a testament to this guy's character. And you have to wonder then what your boyfriend thinks about his good friend's behavior. Because does attract like. So I would first want to know, truly, you know, where is this other guy coming from? Is he being is he lying and being deceitful, or has he been completely honest? And that is what it is then. So that's the first part. But I can completely understand why you would want to know what your boyfriend thinks, because the company you keep does say a lot about who you are. There's nothing wrong with that question.
Okay,
so if you said, wow, I'm curious, you know, what's your mentality about this? That's totally understandable. So, and then where did the conversation go?
Well, my boyfriend was a little offended and kind of didn't say much. And I was kind of prodding him, you know, and it was sort of, like you said, a fishing conversation. Mm-hmm. And I did not get the response that I was hoping for, which was kind of immediate, siding with me, like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, if that is the case, that really is hard. But he basically said, you know, who are you to judge? And I was a bit offended, and I got upset, and then I took a little time to collect myself, and I said, look, my question to you was not so much about your friend. It was more about our relationship.
Good for you. Okay, but did you say that in an accusatory way, or a way of, like, I would just hate to feel misled or deceived?
More the latter. I said, you know, it's just hard to remember that we're individuals and that relationships are fragile, and I would be so hurt, you know, if something like this happened to a close friend of mine or myself. And so that's, you know, that's
one
example.
And what was his response to that?
He was like, oh, you know, very receptive.
Okay, there we go. Now we're talking. Okay, so in truth, it doesn't sound like things are bad at all. It sounds like you're going through growing pains, because the fact that you were able to be self-aware and say, look, babe, I'm not trying to judge your friend. You know what? I'm coming from a place of saying this scenario is scary for me, because it's one that would be hurtful to me. And if he was to turn around and be like, oh, well, you're crazy, then I'd be like, this guy needs to go. He's not sensitive, and he's not. But the minute you were able to be vulnerable with him and tell him how you feel, you told me he was very receptive.
Yeah, and he usually is. It's the confrontation and the angry parts that I want to stop before they get out of control, because I feel like it's really kind of cracking our foundation a little bit.
Okay, then it's how you need to approach it the first time. And once you have an answer, don't continue to push.
I do. I need to work on that.
Because here's the thing. Like, if you see something, now I can understand it if you're like, well, if he's totally fine with this, that's kind of scary to me. But yeah. Now that you have your answer, don't continue to push. Like, he's not cheating on you. He's not hiding his phone. There's no text from other girls. He's not mysteriously not calling or not coming home at night or any of that. There's no indication that this man is being unfaithful to you or disrespectful to you. So therefore, at the moment, there's nothing to question. If you start seeing that behavior of like, he's not coming home or, you know, that becomes a different conversation. And of course, the way you, I would like for you to have approached it the first time, the way you approached it the second time, which wasn't fishing, but was direct and vulnerable.
Yeah, I definitely, I agree with you. And for me, the cheating issue is like a not, it's kind of done, you know, it's not really an issue. But that was mostly just an example of kind of a few different times we've had these like episodes where there's yelling. And then later on, I have perspective, but in the moment, I just get so emotional and I'm just like,
and do you walk around just feeling like, dear God, at any moment this is going to end? Dear God, at any moment he's going to leave?
No, it does come in waves, though.
And are there triggers, though, that he is doing other than external stimulus? Because he didn't do anything. This was the friend. So is there a trigger that he's engaging in that's making you feel this way?
Well, not. I think mostly it's if I pose, you know, if I come to him in sort of a confrontational way about anything, could be anything, you know, we had the same discussion about marriage that did not go well. And
how did so you were like, I'm wondering if there's a future for this, if we're going to get married, and you approached him how?
Okay. So, we were on a walk together. We bumped into one of his friends, and his friend was telling us how he was planning his wedding and it's really stressful, but he's excited. Mm. And then we kept on our walk afterwards, said goodbye. And I mentioned to my boyfriend, I was like, oh, you know, gosh, a wedding, that's, you know, what do you think of that? Kind of really opening it up to a discussion. And he totally, like, shut down. And I got really hurt. I got quiet.
I would feel the same way, though, honey. Yeah. I think that he doesn't sound like a bad guy. It sounds like your communication, again, I could be wrong, but it sounds like your communication strategies with one another are lacking. So you have an issue being direct and you fish. And for some reason, when you're fishing, it's doing something to him that's shutting him down. Because you're not saying, you know, babe, I really like you. I do. Like, we're living together and I think you might be the one. And I just want to know. So, you know, like, do you see that? Is that something that you might want in your future? Because I do want that. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, now, it'd be one thing if you were constantly going at him about, like, when are we getting married? And do you want kids?
God.
And why don't you want kids? And you know what I'm saying? But it sounded like the time you took a very direct approach of, I was wondering, you know, what are your ethics and morality on this issue and seeing two different women? And, you know, that's a normal question to ask. I like the way you asked it better the second time, because you're having a fear of being direct and you're fishing. And something about the fishing, he's picking up, I think, and he's reading it in some way, almost as like a passive-aggressive accusation. He's not responding to that well. And yet, the time that you were direct and vulnerable and honest, he was receptive. Can you think of other times where you've had a more direct, vulnerable, and honest conversation with him?
Yes, I can.
And how did he respond?
He's very receptive.
There you go.
And unfortunately, it comes after the initial kind of, you know, fishing or frustration. And so
what I want you to try. Here's what I want you to try. First thing that I want you to work on is a very behavioral thing. And by the way, you guys might benefit from a few sessions in couples therapy, although I'm afraid you're going to go to him and say, I want to go to couples therapy. And then he's going to be like, oh, God, really? And then get, you know, it's like more drama we don't need or, you know, but the first thing is, I want you to really try to just be more vulnerable and more brave from the get-go and just speak from your heart and tell him, you know, how you're feeling without the fishing and without the pussyfooting around it, because it's not getting you anywhere. You've already seen where it gets you. He doesn't respond well to it. So I want you to try, as scary as that is for you, to kind of put that aside. Because it's much easier to be like, oh, geez, a wedding. Gosh, what do you think about that? Instead of, I'd like to get married, you know, and him being like, ugh, pooey, and then you're, you know, crushed. But, you know, we know now from history that he's responding better when you're expressing your needs calmly, honestly, and vulnerably. Mm-hmm. Okay, which says that he's a good guy. That, you know, he might not be a perfect guy. Nobody is, but that's a really good sign. Now, what you could try to do is say, like, you know, babe, I talked with a friend, and or you could tell him you had this call. I don't know. He might be uncomfortable with you sharing because he sounds private, but or I've been thinking, and I realize that some of the ways we communicate, you know, might have room for improvement. I'd like to discuss. I realize that sometimes I'm afraid to be vulnerable with you and I'll fish and it really shuts you down. And then when I can speak more from the heart, you're extremely receptive. And I think we could really, now that we've moved in together and we've taken this relationship to the next step after 2 years, I'd really love to work on how to best communicate as a couple and what really works with you, and, you know, and just improve. Not that there's something broken, but just to make what's good even better. Does that make sense? The way that you, so it's not like he's like, oh, Christ, really? Something else? So it's more about, like, let's take what's good and make it great. You know what I mean? See if he'd be open, like, or we don't even need to go to a therapist. Can you talk to me about, you know, how would you like to be spoken to, or what frustrates you about the conversations we have? And then, as hard as this sounds, be prepared to listen. Nobody ever really wants the feedback because it's brutal and it hurts. But and he may not actually know how to express that to you. It might take him some time to think about or what have you. But that's, I really want you to work on a system of communication with each other, which is something that Heidi and I had to work so hard on. It's like learning how to ask the other person for what we need and not fishing or being passive aggressive or, you know, just expecting them that if they loved us, they'd read our mind. And that's not real. And that caused so many problems in the beginning of our relationship until we learned how to communicate with one another. Mm-hmm. And everyone's different. And then it sounds like there is a theme for you. And I could be reading into this, but it sounds like there's a theme for you with regard to insecurity and shame around your emotions. Because I feel really ashamed, I'm ashamed, or I feel bad, or I can't believe, or I'm creating all this drama, or blah, 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 blah. And is this a theme for you?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, the, you know, insecurity is something I can definitely identify in past relationships also. Nothing really about my current relationship is very similar to, you know, I'm not comparing, but I definitely recognize it in myself. And I do, with these kind of explosive sort of coming out sideways episodes, I do feel embarrassed, absolutely, and ashamed. Because I like to think of myself as a very direct communicator, but obviously there's room for improvement. So yeah, I would say so.
Okay. There's no room for shame here. And the reason you're having a hard time being direct is because in order to do so, you have to literally be brutally, painfully vulnerable, which is extraordinarily difficult for anyone and everyone. Mm-hmm. So without trying to look for some sort of historical pattern here of the way your dad made you feel when you were five, you seem very self-aware. Mm-hmm. And my first recommendation is to literally work on the actual behavioral way that you approach the dynamic and to build a system as a team in the ways you communicate. And if you continue to see a theme where even where you guys are communicating better and no matter what this guy does, you're still feeling insecure in the relationship, then that is a deeper historical issue that you are playing out in this dynamic. Does that make sense? If he says, babe, I'm not going to cheat, and he's receptive. Okay, babe, you know, I'm open to a wedding. I don't know right now. We just moved in. Give me a second. You know, I can't make any promises right this minute, but I'm not ruling it out. You know, it's like then things are good, but yet you continue to not feel safe, and you continue to not feel like you have value, or like the ground's gonna, you know, the rug's gonna be ripped out from you at any given second. You got to go back and look at deeper stuff that's making you feel that way. And that's really where I suggest going into some counseling and exploring those deeper issues, because you'll continue to manifest that pattern in your current relationship, and you'll continue to test this man, and you'll test his ass right out the door.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I've definitely done that before, and yeah, it definitely rings true for me. This is an important relationship to me, so I really want to be the best version of myself possible, you know? So that sounds like great advice.
But if you can tell me right now that it is a pattern, mm-hmm. and you've done it before, then it is, there's history to it. It's a mm-hmm. very, very old dynamic that's been established for you. And
you
will continue to play out this unresolved issue in your relationships. It's mm-hmm. called a repetition compulsion. I've talked about it on the show before. It's where you repeat patterns from your past and try to make them right. But mm-hmm. it's impossible to do because the wound has already occurred, if that makes any sense to you. And by repeating the same pattern, you're going to get the same outcome. What needs to change in this dynamic is you going, wow, I am constantly responding to this very historical feeling of being less than, or being abandoned, or being left, and therefore it's creating behaviors that are going to manifest that outcome. I've got to look at where these feelings are coming from and mm-hmm. deal with them and grieve them through and explore them instead of playing it out with my current spouse. And our hope, of course, is that we're going to play this pattern out and he's going to every single time go, baby, I do want to get married, and I see the perfect wedding and the perfect blah, blah, blah. I think that friend of mine's a scumbag, and I would never, you know. And the reality is, he's, you know, no one's going to be, and no matter how many times he did it, just so you know, it would never be enough for you. You'd constantly go back. And the reason mm-hmm. you would constantly go back is because the wound has already occurred. The insecurity, the issues, the things that hurt you, the things that made you feel vulnerable in your past have already happened. And mm-hmm. therefore, you've got to go back and deal with them when they first started, where they live and breathe, where they existed, and with their origin. So I recommend, sweetie, maybe you do get into a little bit of therapy and start looking at this so you don't continue to play this pattern out with your partner, and then have a conversation with him that's very candid and honest and just say, you know, I've done some thinking, and have that talk where it's like, I realize I'm fishing and not being direct, and it's coming from an old pattern of mine, and I would love to work better on how to communicate with you, and I would love to hear your feedback, because I find that you're always receptive when I'm more direct and more vulnerable, and start to develop a system so you can manage the situation in your relationship while doing the deeper work on yourself.
Yeah. Okay, I'll work on that.
All right, honey. And don't, by the way, don't ever feel ashamed about your feelings or your issues. We all have them. They're nothing to be ashamed about. They're just things to explore and work on. That's all.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Sasha.
She's smart, though. She's
yeah,
real smart.
Yeah, she's examined herself, for sure.
She's looking at it. She's searching. She's going to get there.
Man, you said something. When you said, once you have the answer, don't continue to push. That's so, you know, that.
Well, the reason you continue to push is because she's trying to heal something that can't be healed in this relationship. So it's never enough. Yeah, no matter how many times she gets the answer, the wound has still occurred. My mom there's a name for it. It's called the psychological conundrum. And it's like, you've already been injured. You can't stop it.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I can get the answer that I need, this insecurity I have will go away. And it's like, no, it won't, because, you know, this happened in your life. It can't be erased. It has to be dealt with. It has to be worked through and examined. And we keep thinking, like, if I can get the response that I always wanted from my father, I will be healed. And it's like, nope. The response you got from your father was still shitty.
Yeah.
Even though this person gave you a different response, the wound is still there. It's got to be dealt with.
No, that was a really interesting. That was really interesting call.
Doctor's in.
The doctor. Yeah, mama. All right. Thanking you, and see you next time on the Jillian and Michael Show. Ugh.
like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.